What's up, fam? I'm your host, Jack Settleman. Joining me today, and as always, my co-host and longtime best friend, Abe Granoff. Today, we're in the stew. Abe, what is on your mind today?
You're an athlete, right, Jack?
Yeah.
You've been an athlete your whole life. Off to just the top of your head. It's happening again. Watch this, fam. If you're watching live on YouTube, this is the perks that you can get. This is how we audible quickly so that we can get good audio.
Hopefully. Well, the audio for them is going to sound great because it comes out of here.
Well, look at what's going on right here.
Yeah, so Abe, just making a quick adjustment. We've already shot this intro like four times, so we're just gonna let the... Yeah, no, fully on me.
All right, we're back. Ahead. Anyway, name some of the like most notable athletic accomplishments that you've had in your life.
In my life? Ooh, okay. We finished one in the country my senior year of high school in soccer. Won the conference championship. I played against Phil Booth and Emmanuel Quickly in high school. That's pretty cool. Outside of that, though, that's pretty much it.
Until today, boys. Until today. Jack's a little bit humble, so I'll go on the record and tell the story. Jack and I and some buddies are part of a softball team in New York City, very competitive league, fast pitch, the whole nine, right?
Fast pitch.
And last week, opening day, we jump out to a 7-0 start. Vibes are high. Things went south. We end up losing 13-12 or something like that. Today, first inning, we were down 3-0 before we even recorded an out. 3-0. We go down to like 7-2.
It was 10-0.
I don't think it was.
Someone said it was 10-0.
Whatever. We were down a lot of runs. We battle. We learn from last week. We watch the tape. We learn what pitches to hit, what pitches to stay on. We end up getting it to 12-10. Going into the bottom of the fifth, sixth inning game, end up getting it 12-12 going into the sixth. We end up, we're the home team, so we put three up, three down, bottom of the sixth, opportunity to win the game. First guy comes up, ground out. Second guy comes up, pop out. Down to two outs. If you got out here, we were going to tie.
Yeah, which would have been worse. What does
Jack do? Puts it in the fucking water. Walk-off dinger, water shower, the whole nine. So that's why I ask, where did today, your first career walk-off home run, rank in your athletic accomplishments? Because for me, it was one in my own athletic accomplishments.
Yeah. I mean, that's the funniest part is, like, significance of the game probably low just because we're not in the playoffs yet. You know, and I'm a championship guy.
Every game's a must-win.
But it's the stuff you dream about literally in the backyard in the driveway and going into the six. I was cracking up. I said to you when we ran out on defense, like if we go in, we still have a home run to hit. And
you had a full count too.
You were like, are you up? I'm like, yeah, I'm third. Obviously I'm just going to swing for the fences. And yeah, the 3-2 count, two outs. And yeah, it barely snuck over.
But it got over.
But the range of emotions was, I knew it was out, but it didn't look out.
I think I knew it was out too.
I knew it was out, so I started laughing, running to first. And then halfway to second, because it was up there for a while, I turned back and I see you guys going crazy. And so I'm just head down, chuckling. I say to the pitcher, like, good pitch, because he threw me like a pitch.
Oh, you chirped around the base pad?
No. I said to him, I was like, that was a good pitch, because he was throwing me something that he knew, like, would have been tough.
Jack, we play underhand softball
It was low and inside.
These guys aren't taking the catcher's call.
He tried walking me. Anyways, by the time I say something to him, I turn again, and I see you guys screaming at the umpire.
Well, for those of you who don't know, the league that we're in, it only allows you to hit two home runs a game because the field's relatively small, and on the third home run it's considered an out.
Yeah,
so they hit two home runs today that were outs. Yeah, which actually ended up coming up huge. So you want to save your home runs.
Yeah,
so we hit one earlier in the game, a three-run shot, and then we saved it, and the ump tried fucking saying that we used up both of our home runs. I actually think he got so afraid of all of us in his face to the point where he was like, all right, home run.
Point is
Jack walked us off today. The boys put a win in the win column for the first time. We're 1-1 this year. We play every Sunday. It's fucking electric. If you're in New York City, come to the East River.
Yeah, we need people.
Dude, this team today showed up with a fans, and we shut them up.
And they had eight.
So
like,
if you're in the New York City area, okay, you're engaged. If you're in the New York City area and you want to watch some softball on Sunday afternoon, we need a crowd. Shoot us a DM. We'll catch you at the East
River. If we go deep, I might get the fam involved and just get a rowdy crowd, like a 3-hour drinking
we'll buy
event.
We'll buy them beers.
Yeah. All right, well, anyways, My walk-off or the San Diego State buzzer beater, definitely on similar levels.
I'll tell you one thing. Our team did a lot better job at recognizing the moment than Jim Nantz and his partner did last night.
Oh, my God. How's that happen?
You would have seen like, it seemed like Jim Nantz hit just sinked the putt on the eighth green and had to be quiet about it.
I mean,
an all-time moment. San Diego State gets the stop, comes down the court, nearly steps out of bounds, mm-hmm. too, and then drains it. I think we all knew that it was going in. I thought about something about this. True or false? People act like they like Cinderella stories, but when it gets to the end, nobody really wants them there.
Well, I think that San Diego State and FAU are the same to me in terms of Cinderella-ness. Like, 5-9.
Neither were supposed to be there.
Yeah, not and neither are, like, blue blood programs, right? And then
yeah, FAU... Yeah, it's a Pac-12. What do they play in the Pac-12?
Mountain West. They're not even a Power 5. So FAU is, like, 35-3 this year. So I view them as good as San Diego State, and obviously with the game ending the way it
did. But what do you think about that? I think that people like the idea of Cinderella's on day one and two.
People like the idea of March... on day one and two.
Right, but when it comes down to the final four...
Yeah, you want the best players in the best games. Like, everyone would love if the 8 seed beats the Nuggets or beats the Bucks in the playoffs, but, like, we don't want Timberwolves versus, you know...
Well, the script's out. script is out.
Wait, there's an NBA script?
You didn't see it?
No, the TikTok?
No, the script is out.
Oh.
Yeah, you didn't see it? Oh. For your Timberwolves,
really?
Unfortunately, Naz Reid went down, and he's out for a month. But Shams pretty much tweeted, not... If the Wolves make the Western Conference Finals, he'll be back. He said he'll be back for the Western Conference Finals. So the script is out. The Minnesota Timberwolves are going to be in the Conference
Finals.
Who do
they play?
That's part of the script I haven't seen yet.
Okay.
Well,
that moment was electric. And yes, there may be something on that side of the court in Houston. Meanwhile, my Huskies, one more, baby. One more for my Huskies.
You have an explanation to the fam as to why you're not in Houston?
Yeah, Casey...
is a bitch.
Yeah, pretty much that. Otherwise, I would be riding my Huskies. Like you said, no one cares about the Cinderella. No one is rooting for San Diego State tomorrow. Am I going to hedge?
Whoa. What?
Are you rooting for San Diego State? Why?
See, you put me in between a rock and a hard place because, like, I'm totally fine with, like, hating on you big time in any fashion, root against your team, root against your bet.
Yeah, but
when like, it's a big bet,
you got no
I feel
dog
like
in
a
fight.
Real dickhead rooting
but
against...
But why
like
would you root for San Diego State?
Well, if I bet on them.
Oh, okay.
Yesterday I was rooting for UConn, but yeah. I genuinely thought Miami was going to win.
Right, that's fine.
And that's what I feel about tomorrow.
And
I think San Diego State wins.
Did you see the BR betting video? So homie had futures on FAU to win the national championships and like a few hundred to win 100 racks. And one of the BR betting guys who I know went crazy when they made the buzzer beater. And everyone was like, yeah, like, understand the situation. And it's the same thing. You might think Miami's going to win. If you bet on them, you're absolutely entitled to root for them. But you don't come in the group chat if you win, you know, $118 and ruin, and the other side loses thousands. Like, yo, like, let's go, you know. So just know your...
With San Diego State going to this game tomorrow, and then UConn last night against Miami did exactly what they've been doing the entire tournament and is dominated from them from start to finish. But the way that my brain is wired is that something has to give.
Well, the fact that everyone watched both games and their conclusion was like, oh my God, I'll bet UConn at any number. I'm hammering UConn. I was like, God damn it. Like,
yeah, right.
Like, why? So
that's also why.
So I don't think I'm going to hedge. I don't think I'm going to hedge, but I actually am interested in like a middle opportunity. So for those who don't know, I bet $238
why?
On UConn.
Is that the balance?
No, because it gave me a clean $5,000. So I bet $238 to win $5,000 on UConn pre-tournament. They're one game away. They're minus $300 to win the game. So it's a good...
Hedge.
Are you
hedge,
a hedge guy?
Hedge. No, I'm just... I have to make sure that you see both sides.
Okay.
What is the San Diego State money line?
It's like you could find it 210, probably 230. So if I put even $1,000, then I'm pretty much locking in anywhere from $2,300 to $4,000. But I might go for the middle. So you bet San Diego State plus 8 or 7.5,
five and a half.
I think it was, is it down to 5.5? Because
it
got
saw
up
it
to 7.5.
It
did, and it went to 7.5.
Oh, everyone loved it. All right, so yeah. San Diego State's winning this.
I don't know if they win, but I don't think they lose by double digits because UConn smashed them.
I like the middle.
Right.
I like the middle.
So if I play SDSU plus 8,
it's actually the total opposite of a hedge.
No, because if UConn wins and covers, I still win three. And if UConn wins by seven, then I win seven. Which kind of sounds like the vibe.
That's my whole thing with UConn is that they've been dominating from start to finish this entire tournament. Even if, like, the people that just watched last night thought the exact same thing. Yeah. And at some point, I'm just like, this has got to stop. And you look at a team like San Diego State, they strap.
They strap up. And in a rock fight, getting 7 points is like getting 10 to 12 points. So
I like that. Rock fight.
Yeah, that's what they call it.
What, in the unders?
Huh?
Like when it's all unders?
When it's just like a tough...
When you have to win ugly.
Exactly. Because imagine fighting...
So that's the analysis. UConn has been steamrolling everyone. San Diego State has to try and win ugly.
That was a little Bill Rafferty in you. I like that.
Who's Bill Rafferty? I know the name.
He's the name. Onions!
Ah.
They open up in a little... Man-a-man! A little kiss off the glass. Do we want to talk NBA? I don't know why Eagleson necessarily put it on.
We're coming in for a landing.
With what?
We're coming the season.
Yeah.
We're coming in for a landing. 1 week left before the play-in tournament. I do want to talk about the Wolves, and on a serious note right now, there was a big game last night in the West between the Wolves and the Lakers. The winner moved up to the 7. Mm-hmm. The loser, I believe, dropped to the
9. Yeah.
You bet the Minnesota Timberwolves to go to the finals, win the West, right?
Pelly's
not win
too.
The finals.
Pelly's too.
And the Pelly's. So you have two play-in teams. And the Knicks. That's your portfolio heading into these playoffs?
Yeah, baby.
Okay. Diverse. What do you think? Do you think
as your friend, you know how you helped me with the hedge? I'm just going to help you and say, are you sure you want to sit like this? Like, are you positive? Knowing what has transpired over the last week, I'm not saying necessarily that there's anything like strongly wrong with it. I'm just helping you see both sides, as you said.
Clip this.
Okay. You want open legs, leg up.
Dude, this looks cash.
Okay.
This looks cool.
Yeah.
I can sit like this, but that doesn't negate the fact that you bet on the Minnesota Timberwolves to go to the NBA Finals.
I know.
I think we talked about your rationale. You think they have a good starting five, and that's real.
Incredible depth.
Pause. They might not even make the playoffs.
So? Why do you think the odds are likely?
But you can't win the West if you don't make the playoffs.
Do you think we're not going to get in? I mean,
what's the status right now? We've got...
We would play the Thunder.
And you have to win one...
Two.
You'd have to win two.
Yeah. So Pelicans would have to beat the Lakers, and then the Wolves would have to beat the Lakers. So I could knock Bron out and have the 7 and the 8 seed. That would be electric.
I don't think you guys get in. But
do you think I'll get one in?
So that would mean it would have to be Lakers Thunder the other two?
Yeah, yeah.
I think you get one in.
Okay.
I think you're more likely to get the Pels. Assuming so, you've done enough research on this bet, right?
Yeah.
Can I get a Zion update?
Zion should be back on Tuesday.
That's a source?
No. That's we could get in there. But he'll be back for the play-in. Now, he looks a little beefier than when he exited the plane's establishment, but the Pelicans were the one seed in the West. Now, like, I'm all... Losing.
You won't find me slandering your Pelicans.
Okay,
bet, by
so
the
you're
way.
In there.
I'm in on
you're
the Pelicans.
Yeah.
The Zion's in.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. The Wolves, you know, if we didn't lose Naz Reid, we'd be in a better spot. But we'll see.
If you were going to, knowing where the standings are right now and how much of a, this is Kyrie's word, not mine, a clusterfuck the West is.
Yeah.
Who would you pick right now to come out of the West?
To come out of the West, who would I pick right now? Like... No odds attached.
Yeah, no odds, nothing. But the seeding remains. So, try and read the map. Read the bracket.
Reading the map. Ooh, who would I pick? I would go Suns and Nuggets. I think the odds are right.
I forgot about the Suns.
Yeah. And now, so what's really interesting, because now that I track daily the Western Conference standings, is the Suns are locked into the 4. And Golden State and the Clippers are throwing the 5. Like, they're trying to get to the 6.
Yeah, everyone wants
to beat. But the 6 is actually only a game and a half up on the 7. So
yeah, it's a clusterfuck.
It's a clusterfuck. And by the way, Kyrie, they're not making the playoffs. They're done. They're out.
Yeah.
The Mavs are not going to make it.
You know what I have a bad feeling about? What if the Warriors do it again?
They could.
I saw that they might get Wiggins back soon, and it's gonna happen.
Yeah,
this is how it's gonna go down.
If they're
gonna play the Kings in the first round and then play the Grizzlies in the second,
yeah, yep. Yep, GG's in the chat.
I think I might need Warriors to win the West.
Will I hedge Warriors Pelicans conference finals? That's the question at hand.
Walk before you run, my brother.
The East seems a little bit easier. It seems like
The East has the three best teams in the NBA.
Yeah,
as far as East is
Knicks, Bucks, and Celtics.
The East is The East is let's fast forward to the Eastern Conference Finals as soon as possible. I want to fast forward as well. I don't want to experience the second round.
Wouldn't it be funny if, like, we put you in a... Okay, I'm not going to go that direction. More like if we simulated and you woke up and the first thing you did, you knew when you checked your phone in the morning, it was going to tell you, did the Sixers make the conference finals or not? Like, that rush would probably be, like, must-watch TV. What if I locked you in this room?
Like, you ever see those dumbass girls and they're, like, when they've... their phone set up with their two parents around them and all their college gear, and they're like opening up the acceptance letter. All that. I was like, give me a fucking break.
Wait, what if we locked you in this room for 2 weeks, no phone, just MLB The Show, and after the 2 weeks, you got to come out and check if the Sixers made the conference finals or not?
So do I get anything?
MLB The Show.
I already have that.
Oh, you get the Sixers in the conference finals.
Oh, I have to do is stay in here for 2 weeks?
Or not. So you would opt out of that. It would be funny content, though.
Sit in this room for 2 weeks?
Yeah.
No, I'd get roasted for how I sit for an entire 2 weeks.
True.
So I kind of think that the Warriors... I don't know.
Your pick.
It's not my pick.
If Wiggins is back, I'm with you.
The Suns are my pick, and the only reason is because Chris Paul's what you want about the Warriors, but there is enough data now to realize that this team is dumb trash on the road. And they're going to have to go on the road a lot as the sixth seed. And that's just how I kind of like, you don't just forget about that.
They only go on the road one more time, though, which is 12% more.
But if they're they drop one at home, then that's where it comes into play is being on the road.
But if they steal one.
They stink on the road. They're unbelievable at home. But everybody in the Western Conference, when they line up against them in a game, is going to be afraid to play them because they still are the worst.
That's who teams fear. You don't want to catch Golden State. The Lakers, you don't want to play in theory.
People are afraid of the Lakers.
But all right, Suns, Lakers. All right, let's rank them. Let's rank them really quickly. Who do you think is most feared to least feared in the Western Conference?
Suns.
Okay.
Warriors.
Yep.
Lakers.
Over the Nuggets? Yes. I don't know. Yeah. That's not true.
It's all vibes, whereas Warriors, you're afraid of them for legitimate reasons because they won a championship last year. They've won four in X amount of years. I'm sorry. I'm not buying into this Mario Chalmers bullshit. People are afraid.
No, of course. But I think that people still know that the Nuggets are better than the Lakers. Now, that doesn't mean that they have to fear them the most, but we'll see. In the East, I think all three top seeds will clean up. It looks like it's going to be Bucks, Boston, you guys, right? Pretty locked?
But we're locked at three.
Okay.
Boston could jump Milwaukee. They're a game and a half out right now. We play Milwaukee and Boston, I believe, these next two games.
Okay.
Good
test or no? That's what's interesting.
Fuck the test. Fuck everything. Just make sure Joel doesn't hurt anything.
Gotcha. So if you could, you'd sit everyone tonight outside of the MVP. You wouldn't play him against Boston because you don't want to show your hand to Boston. You might play them
right. I'm not like at the point where I'm sitting these guys because I still think it's important for them to get time together, even though they've been together all year. But my point is I don't really care win or loss tonight against Milwaukee. I don't care about that against Boston. I care that Joel Embiid isn't wearing a fucking mask in 2 weeks.
So do you buy stock in the Celtics beating the Bucks by 40 or 1 of 82?
1 of 82.
Okay. I'm with you. I think there's no statement win.
The jokes are going to come, and they're not really jokes because, again, they're facts. The Sixers haven't made it out of the second round since 2001.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
That's a long time.
You know, it is. But... tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
Boston looks like they can be had.
Yeah, but you're not the team for it.
Why?
Because they
I think own, we are
they,
the team for
no,
it.
No, because they own you. And I think there's a little bit. Normally, I'm not in the ownership department because it's like it's different teams. Why do I care if they have your number in 2012? But they've owned you like literally for the last 5 years, and it's the same core on both sides for the most part. Obviously, pieces come in and out. Look at you staring into the abyss. You're like, God, They really do.
I'm staring right at the voice meter too. That's in Celtics green.
It's it's just they own you.
They own us.
Who knows?
But you know,
maybe this time it'll be different.
Don't they send out people on loans in soccer too when they own players?
They do. All right, let's get into our cap of the week. My cap of the week is Falcons head coach Arthur Smith. The quote was that he reiterated today that the plan is for Desmond Ridder to be their starting quarterback, and they expect to see significant growth out of him. Cap?
His height? Cap? Maybe he's not done growing.
No, he's a little older, too.
Could not be done. You never know.
Yeah. I get you got to say something. You want to build up this young quarterback's confidence, but do you actually believe to see... Actually, you know what? Maybe it's not cap. Ridder was really, 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 really bad last year. Really bad.
He's got to grow up.
So, yeah, I'm a regression guy off the top guy, so I guess I can't hate on Arthur Smith for being a progression guy after a really poor performance.
Let's keep it in the NFL. My next cap goes out to a lot of teams that I'm reading about. It came out wildly this week, I think on like Wednesday, that a lot of teams, and the first one I saw was the Raiders at 7, are taking...
The Raiders.
Right. Are taking Jalen Carter off of their draft board.
Because he's going to get drafted earlier?
Exactly. That's why you're taking him off, because he's that fucking good. Let's take... Think about the NFL, right?
The Raiders...
No, that's not even this angle I'm going at. It's way worse. Bless you.
Thank you.
Tyreek Hill.
We don't even need to list them out.
Kareem Hunt.
I think we get the gist.
Antonio Brown. Newsflash. No one gives a fuck in this league what you do off the field. Jalen Carter the entire year, outside of the quarterbacks, was the number one guy. Now, he apparently looked fat at his pro day. First off, if I was like... touted that high, I would throw pro days. Fuck around.
No.
I guess you are costing yourself millions of dollars by going from 3 to 4.
Millions.
That's bullshit. I still believe that Jalen Carter will 1,000% be a top 10 pick. However, I do think it's in teams 1 of 9's best interest to take him off their draft board.
You 10?
Yes. That is how I view it.
Him and Jordan Davis together?
That's meaty.
That is meaty.
But I don't know. I'm not buying any of this. I've never seen something like that before. Like, we've always seen things that have gone on in the background when these draft prospects are getting evaluated. I've never seen something that was, we've taken him off the board. Top 10 guy. Maybe like a middle round guy who has question marks around him. Not Jalen Carter.
Yeah. Like, I heard that the Knicks are taking Brandon, what's his name? Miller. Brandon Miller off their
draft. I think the Sixers have taken Wembanyama off their draft board, too. Right. You never want a guy in the Wells Fargo who could do a putback dunk off his own fucking missed three.
The internet graphic
of
the week.
Hold on, I have a second. I have a second cap of the week. I believe while this is going on, LSU probably just became national championships for the women.
Let's see. Yeah.
LSU just beat the Iowa Caitlin Clarks. So what does the national championship in women's basketball do to people like Jack and I? Well, I was with Jack yesterday. We're discussing Caitlin Clark and how she's just out of this world.
Nasty.
And he actually looked me in the eye and said, but she would probably beat us, right?
She would.
She would cook us. But it just spurs that question every time. And then I looked it up today. I was like, maybe I could. I saw she's 6 foot, 155 pounds. 6 foot? Fine. Ain't no way that girl's 155 pounds.
You think she's lighter?
She's skin and fucking bones. She's got a cold, cold heart, though. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
What an unbelievable tournament from Caitlin Clark.
So I looked it up because we did a segment on could she play in the men's Final Four, which after some of the free throw shooting and just general shooting from last night's games, I'm pretty convinced that she could. But... Marquise Noel, 160 pounds, 5'8".
Also,
just food for thought.
Caitlin Clark's like average depth of made three was like 35 feet or something ridiculous.
And so contested, it's nuts.
It's a Steph Curry. It's Caitlin Curry is what it really is.
Yeah, it's Stephen Clark. But our internet graphic of the week is the other alien now on the men's side. And we actually, Abe, ascertained this from San Quinn, CBS 2 days ago when you sent this in the group?
Something like that.
That is before, and let's make this clear, that is before we saw the highlight of Victor Wembanyama. No one was even talking about. What I was most locked in on was the fact that he went with an insane handle, dribble, dribble, cross, cross, behind the back, cross, step back, smooth KD-looking three, and then caught the putback. Caught the putback and jammed it home all in one motion. So, from Sam Quinn, CBS, I think there are 13 players whose teams wouldn't trade them for Wembanyama. Giannis, Luka, Tatum, Jokic, Embiid, Mitchell, Mobley, Morant, Booker, Durant, Steph, Ant, and SGA. I think on value alone, the number one pick could be traded for basically any other player. I think we're going to probably...
There's a caveat here.
Yeah.
So I did a deep dive on Sam Quinn's Twitter.
Yeah.
He is the Evan Mobley Gluck Gluck 3000 master. Yeah. Because when I first saw this tweet, the first thing that came to mind was there's an imposter among us. And then I scrolled Sam Quinn's Twitter and he has to own more Evan Mobley cards than you do Rui Hachimura for the way that
he was. Is he a Cleveland guy?
No, he's a Spurs guy.
Gotcha. People are high on
he's sick, Mobley.
On Mobley. And he's getting even better, even though he only had 7 boards the other night when we needed him to get 10, which was really weird behavior from him. But let's just first start with this list. It's taking into account age, contract,
sure,
all that stuff. So I actually enjoy this. Is there anyone left off this list that comes to mind?
There are names on this list that I don't
agree with. No, I know, but are there names off first that come to mind?
I need something in front.
Like Lillard?
Brunson.
Is Lillard on that list?
Well, there's no such thing as a trade out of Portland because he's loyal.
He is so too.
It's just like,
Zion? Is Zion on that list?
After this year, personally, he's on that list.
Yeah.
I love Zion, and I've always been proven over potential type guy. Yeah. I even think there's guys on this, like, I wouldn't do Steph. I would trade Steph. I would trade Steph.
Nah,
I would trade Jokic.
Nah, you're bugging out.
I would maybe trade Morant. No, I wouldn't.
Trade Devin Booker, though.
I wouldn't. Like, what about Jaylen Brown?
That's a good one.
What about Trae Young?
So this is your classic. You could have a boat or the mystery box, and the boat could be in the mystery box. But I only think this is how
or a bicycle could be in the mystery box.
Right. In theory, this is the only players on that list that I don't think have, like, even if Wembanyama plays out to be who we expect him to be, I wouldn't trade Giannis.
How do you expect Wembanyama to be? Because I think we have two.
Sorry. His potential, right? If he reaches his ceiling. Giannis, like, I don't know if he would ever be better than Giannis, even in that scenario. And I'd rather have Luka. Outside of that, given age and contract, that might be
Tatum.
It for me. I'm not a huge Tatum guy.
Wow, we flipped.
He's clearly in the superstar category.
Is he a superstar?
He is, but I...
So Sam Quinn, is he to Jack Settleman?
No, he is. Okay. He is. You think he's a superstar at this point, right?
You guys
own Jordan Chew.
I admit it. Yeah, I admit it.
But Wembanyama, I'm just... Tatum, he's a scorer to me, and they seem like... I don't know. Jalen Brunson at 48 points.
You want to talk about age, you want to talk about contract.
Yeah.
Tyrese Haliburton.
Nah, you're playing for upside with Wembanyama. You put Steph on the list. That's insane because this is actually maybe his best season ever, and his game is also going to age well. Kevin Durant, to me, I know
you. Steph's game is going to age well?
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's not. He's got the ankles of fucking...
No, it's going to age well. Shooter, like, think about J.J. Redick played until he was 40. I'm not saying that he's going to be a superstar when he's 43, but your body's
like
not
his job's just to come off screens and chuck.
Yeah, like Klay Thompson.
He's not running an offense.
No,
as far as aging but he's an aging guard.
I mean, no, he is still dominating today. Ant Edwards, get him the fuck off the list. Get him off the list.
Wait,
you're my boy. If you want to talk Jaden McDaniels,
what's wrong with Ant?
If you want to talk Jaden McDaniels,
what's wrong with Ant?
Because Ant right now is 23 a night and, like, not even the best player on his team. And I get that he's 21, but...
Who's the best player on their team?
Cat? I think people think Kat's the best runner on the team today.
I think that is a scorching hot take.
And today?
Nobody, yeah.
Today? No.
Put out a poll after this.
I'm on Minnesota Twitter.
Kat's a homegrown boy, though.
Yeah, he is. Devin Booker, I would be fine trading.
You didn't say anything about Embiid.
Embiid, I guess I can't say anything because it's kind of like Lamar Jackson of basketball. Like, could you trade in Embiid for a younger rookie contract with, you know, equivalent potential? Yes, but no, I'd rather have Joel Embiid who might win the MVP. Donovan Mitchell.
Spider's growing on me big time.
He's going to torch the Knicks in the playoffs. It's going to be sensational. I don't know. SGA, I think at this point SGA can stay on the list for me just because of his age. But
De'Aaron Fox?
No.
Sabonis?
No. Jimmy Butler? Julius Randle? No. Tobias? Put you in a little pickle there?
Quite the pickle.
Yeah. You'd probably give up Tobias for
Wemby. He's expiring next year. That's the only reason, probably.
Harden? Also a Houston Rocket. So.
Also expiring this year.
No, but the pick and roll with Harden and Wemby next year is going to go not as good as crazy. Yeah, if Wemby puts on weight, it's probably GG's for the league. All right, let's get into Monday mailbag. We've got some great questions or a great question from Titan in the Discord. You can find the Discord in the description on our YouTube channel. Monday mailbag. If you could put wings on any animal, what would it be?
I'll go first because you have a lot to dive into with this question. Two animals came to mind. The first one is because it's my favorite animal in the entire world. Could you imagine a fucking lion with wings? King of the jungle as is, and now they're paroling the air.
Yeah,
like unbelievable.
Who's king of the air in your opinion?
King of the air.
Like who's the most dominant flying animal? No, what?
King of the air.
No, like flying animal. And I feel like the American gut answer, especially for you and probably for Andrew, is like dragon. The eagle. Oh, dragon. Okay.
Are dragons real?
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Like real, not the fucking Komodo dragons you keep in a cage.
Yeah, they're real.
A fucking dragon?
Yeah. Not like Game of Thrones dragons. They're extinct.
They don't breathe. They existed?
Yeah, they're dinosaurs. I swear.
Dragons are dinosaurs?
Yes.
I know you're pulling this out.
No, I swear on my life.
Did they breathe fire? No shot. That's a movie thing.
Did dragons breathe fire?
Irwin with a podcast. Relax. So the first one is going to be a lion because they're my favorite animals. And then recently I've seen on my Twitter timeline, like killer whales and orcas. They're fucking massive.
Mm.
You put wings on one of those and like you figure out the whole breathe out of water type thing.
Mm-hmm.
First off, it looks majestic. So yeah. I'm going to go lion or orca.
Those wings would be huge.
Huge. And I don't, you know what it reminds me of? For those of you, I'm going to age myself with this one. The show Avatar, The Last Airbender, where Aang has his pet. I forget what he is, but his name's Appa. And he goes, yep. That's what I think of with an orca with wings is Appa from Avatar. So orca or lion. If I had to choose one, lions are close to home. But I'm totally doing some research on dragons after this.
Yeah.
So you're telling me, one, they're technically dinosaurs.
They are. Yeah,
they existed.
Yep,
they no longer exist.
Correct. Well, they do in much smaller.
And you're not positive if they actually
unsure if they breathed fire. That seems unlikely. But oh, that would be sick.
There's no way that they're fucking. You're making this up.
No. The first three parts are definitely true. My answer. I'm gonna answer this initially with the question: what are we trying to accomplish here with the wings?
There's not always like a goal, Jack.
No, I'm not.
Like not everything's a business.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be entrepreneurial here and be like, oh, if a giraffe had wings and we could lease them out and we could charge $80 an hour. It's more, are we trying to die or...
Why would you want to die?
Like, if you picked an orca, that just seems like mass destruction.
No, I was acting under the assumption that whichever animal I grant wings, like, automatically gives me immunity. Like, that orca's not coming after me.
Right, but everyone else.
Game be the game,
or is it for your own benefit? Because is it a pet? Because
fly a flying orca.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yep.
Yeah, That would be hype.
You know what? Maybe just, I don't know, answer the question.
Okay. And then the third thought I just had was, should I pick an animal that I think would be delicious, like chicken wings, but instead...
Pig wings?
Yeah, like... Yeah, what if bacon had wings?
Wait, beef wings? Isn't that just bone-in steak?
No, that's a different part of their body. All right, so my answer is a hippopotamus.
Did you know that the hippopotamus is the most dangerous animal on the planet, other than an orca or a killer whale?
Other than a dragon. Fire-breathing dragon.
No, actually, hippopotamus are the most, like...
They're killers.
They have one of the most, like they're
Have you ever seen their teeth?
Yeah, like their death per... Whatever bite is wild. Their DPM, DPB. Their war is crazy.
Have you ever seen a
hippopotamus's vorp?
it's like Nikola Jokic. All right, let's go to big news. We probably should have talked about this earlier when we were talking NBA. But congrats to the NBA on completing the CBA. No lockout.
So. I thought there would be.
So for those who don't know, the CBA is essentially the agreed upon rules between the Players Association and the NBA. Normally, it leads to a lot of negotiating. Apparently, CJ McCollum is too locked in on winning the West than doing a good job, according to Draymond Green. That would be funny. Warriors-Pelicans conference finals. And after every game, instead of talking about the games, Draymond gets on his podcast.
Wait, are they beefing?
Yeah.
Draymond and CJ?
Well, CJ is the president, and Draymond is shitting on how the players negotiated.
Why? What's he saying?
They lost. We'll go through Draymond's tweets later.
Shut the fuck up, Draymond Green. I hate you.
But maybe he's right. Anyways, we are going to smash.
He just likes to just put his fucking nose where it doesn't belong.
That is like a Draymond topic.
Exactly, but it's just like, I hate him.
Okay. Anyways, we're smashing or passing the new CBA rules and comings from the contract.
All right.
First one, in-season tournament, a Final Four in Vegas, and $500K to the winning player on each team, or the winning players on the winning team.
Pass.
Wow.
Except for you wanting to go to Vegas for the Final Four of the fucking play-in tournament.
Listen, that's a smash, a hard smash.
What?
Yeah.
Why the fuck do you care about a mid-season tournament?
Because.
Rings, banners.
Well, you got rings and banners. You've got player development for younger players, which I think is fun. You've got, most importantly, this is the American way to look at it, is go, oh, in-season tournament, they got to work more. Ugh, gross. Pass. In England, winning the mid-season tournament, which they have three of, is almost as prestigious. It's not as the Premier League or Champions League, but it's meaningful. Like, it is very, very meaningful. Why do they benefit from that? Because they have years and years, centuries of history. So in year one, when the Jazz win the midseason tournament because David Abaji goes off, we'll make fun of it. Twitter will have a time. But over the course of 50 years, hypothetically, this could be fun.
So you're saying, okay, let me get this straight. You're saying that 50 years from now, we're going to look at NBA in-season tournament banners the same way that we judge like a Premier League championship.
No. I said they're not at that level. But
I said in 50 years.
I'm saying that more people will watch and care about in 50 years than Bucks Sixers tonight or any other game that's taking place now.
It'll be on national television. They'll put it in front of your face.
It's meaningful basketball. At the end of
the day, nobody gives a fuck.
People love tournament style. WBC was electric because it was in a tournament.
It's America's pastime.
World Cup, tournament. People love tournament structures because of the drama, the winner take all. And I think this is awesome for the
I am passing on this only until I get to see how the winning team celebrates at the final buzzer.
It's more, you gotta.
That's the thing. It should be like, can you tell me fucking Giannis and the Bucks, if they win the first
Do you think they'll play? I don't think they'll play.
How does that work?
Yeah.
Who plays?
There are rules, but I didn't want to get into
it. It should be for all the teams that aren't currently in the playoffs, and a win of the tournament locks them into the 10th seed.
No, it should lock you into first pick. That's how you should fucking do it.
Play for first overall pick?
Yeah.
I'm going to pass
Play
that
for
one.
Seeding.
Let's keep going. We got some more.
Play for seeding. All right, next one. Smash or pass? The new awards format. 65 games required and permissionless awards for the All-NBA team.
Smash.
See, that is that's your type of girl. That is not really anyone else's.
Why?
Because.
No, whoa. Everyone's yelling pounding the table for positionless All-NBA teams.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
No one is pounding the table outside of Philadelphia.
That's not true.
That is true. That is. No one is like,
everyone on Twitter agrees how fucking stupid it is that the number.
Okay, that's fine.
No, it's not just Philadelphia. Shut up.
Who is it? Name another team that cares. That cares.
Not team.
That cares.
People on Twitter.
Okay, that cares. Not that it
says
it's stupid.
Sam Quinn, CBS.
Oh, you saw his tweet?
I'm sure
he wants Evan Mobley in his
You're telling
guard.
Me that nobody is excited about this positionless? The fact that
I didn't
back,
say that.
In back
said,
to
no
back
one's
years.
Pounding the table.
In back to. Just, all right, so tell me it doesn't make sense. In it back does. To back years, fine. The runner up for MVP was second team All NBA.
It only matters because it affects contracts. I wouldn't have a problem if Jokic won MVP and was claimed to be the best center, that the second best center goes on the second team. I would not hate that structure.
Do you hate the
effect? I wouldn't hate specific positions, and people should have to claim what position they're going preseason. That would be fun.
What about like something like with the All-Star game?
Like imagine going into the season and Embiid's like, fuck it.
Point guard.
Shooting guard.
He does bring the ball up.
Shooting guards are weak.
But think about this. The All-Star game. Think about where the MVP odds and how the season was early in the year. With Giannis, Tatum, Durant, and Embiid all being in the East, one of them wasn't going to be a starter.
Yeah.
At that point in the beginning of the year, those
give
four...
Give a fuck.
Right, give a fuck, but it makes a ton of
sense.
No,
it makes sense.
That's why it's a smash.
I'm just making fun of you pounding the table.
The pass on this is... If someone plays 64 games and doesn't get on a team...
I actually think they did asterisk that. I think they said there's certain circumstances
they stipped it,
which is smart. Like, let's just evaluate what's going on. If a player plays a long enough season and sits out the play-in tournament or the in-season tournament, maybe it shouldn't affect them. But all right, next thing, players can own teams, smash or pass.
Tatum's owned us for years. Pass.
That's a smash for me, but once again, that's my...
Players can own teams.
Yeah, own equity in a team.
So, like, can a free agency pitch be, we'll give you equity?
Yeah.
Can that be part of the contract?
Yes. Not technically, though. I believe the NBA PA has to work with the venture capital firm to ascertain the equity.
Second time you've used ascertain
I know, this podcast. Yeah.
You learned that word yesterday.
No, I don't know. When it was coming out of my mouth that second time, I was like, that's probably an overusage. Yeah, I like it. I think it just adds tremendous.
Is this Fab Radio? Me put my feet
up? Yeah. It just adds tremendous opportunity for like LeBron to take ownership in the Las Vegas expansion team, but Bronny gets drafted to Orlando, and then Orlando plays Vegas. Like it'll get funky without a doubt. But
imagine Bron like Instagram caption after he drops like 22 on 8 of 20 shooting against like the Timberwolves, and like 3 months before that he bought a minority stake and was just like, I own you off and on the court, king shit, Bronny next.
All right, smash or pass? Players can promote gambling or cannabis companies.
Smash.
Yeah.
What do I give a fuck?
Yeah. Let's go.
Until they start throwing games.
Yeah. They cannot promote anything tied to gambling, but they can promote the gambling companies. That's what's written. Not sure how the hell that's going to work, but I'm excited to see how they figure that out. I proposed to Underdog yesterday getting Julius Randle to dunk on me for the Underdog Sportsbook commercial. Thoughts?
Genius.
Yeah.
Genius.
Yeah. Players can't enter through high school still. Smash or pass?
Pass. Smash.
Why?
I don't know.
That's a pass for me. Why? Who cares? If a player can make it, who cares?
I guess you're right.
Let them make
themselves. That was a little bit of a boomer. I was trying to think of like why, because I love the tournament, and I really don't give a shit about college basketball.
Yeah.
So.
All right, last one. No marijuana testing.
Smash.
Yeah, it's a smash. That's
for sure.
Just let it rock.
Let it rock.
I just want to rock.
Like, at what point will we be able to, like, notably tell if someone's high on the court?
Players get high.
On the court?
I think so. Well, not
we got to start asking our guests that.
Yeah.
Like, yo, you stoned on the court.
Yeah. All right, let's get Eagleson in here for the final finish.
Remember how LeBron was eating popcorn courtside?
Yeah.
What if he was stoned?
Smoking it. Oh, I thought you were saying, like, what if he just smoked
the jet? What if he was, like, fried? It was illegal then.
Yeah. Well, it was legal Not if he got caught, though. Eagleson.
Yo.
Men.
What's going on?
Can you guys tell me if the Raptors are any good? I just saw they clinched a spot in the play-in. Nothing.
That doesn't that answer your question?
I guess.
Well, to be fair, he did just hear us talking about the Lakers being the second most dangerous team in the West, and they're in the play.
Right. They have LeBron James, not Chris Boucher.
Yeah. So the Raptors are playing good ball, and they are.
We just busted them.
And I actually have never understood why the Raptors aren't good this year. Like, they have really solid pieces. So, but I think this is what they are. They're like a, you know,
they've got fire role pieces for sale that could all warrant three picks, but none of them are going to be your
no guy. Superstars. But Siakam's he was the number two on that team that beat the Sixers. I mean, the Warriors in the championship. All right, Eagleson, what else you got going on for us?
I mean, just some Dolphin stuff in the news. Nothing too crazy, really, but we can get
into
it.
Can I ask, we haven't checked in a little while. How's school going?
School is brutal. School blows.
College is sick. School sucks.
Yes, exactly. The
But like, how are things going
with your marks?
Yeah, with the marks.
I'm passing every class. I'm not failing anything, but some are close, and other ones are just not fun. I don't know. It's just the workload compared to high school is a lot. I didn't. What'd you say?
I said property insurance isn't your thing.
Apparently not. Neither is economics or actually economics is okay.
Yeah, make sure you study though. Get some good.
What
grades.
Is your thing?
Producing this podcast.
Good answer. Well, I believe it's Sunday, which means we have to talk some Miami Dolphins in the final. NHL playoffs are approaching, but we'll catch up with Eagleson on Wednesday or Thursday about the latest around the NHL. Eagleson, final finite, are you ready?
I'm so ready. Let's do it.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
It's been 8,128 days since the Miami Dolphins last won a playoff game. I'm not sure how many times other Dolphins fans or other people are going to bring this up, but for the love of God, we are not signing Lamar Jackson. We would need to clear over $30 million in cap space to make it work, which would lead the league, by the way. And of course, that amount of money would mean a few casualties. And as we've previously established on this podcast, the Dolphins already have the best team on paper. So why would we gut a quarter of this beautifully constructed roster for Lamar Jackson when we already have an elite quarterback ready to go? I know this won't make the rumors stop or anything, but it's just not happening. What is terrifying, though, is the fact that the Patriots would not have to clear almost any cap space at all to make this deal happen, and as if the AFC East isn't going to be hard enough this season with Rodgers coming over and the Bills maybe being good, we'll see about that. In terms of the draft, you know, it's April. There's not much to say as a Fins fan. We've got no picks. I hope we can draft a tight end. That's definitely one of the bigger needs. I know the Dolphins met with Keandre Miller. We've already got three cheap running.
Does that even sound like a Dolphin?
Nope, and you do it every time, but I love it. All right, where do we start here?
He said Lamar's name.
He did say Lamar's name. He didn't slander Lamar. So I'll ask you, if you could go like that and make $30 million appear, not losing players, same roster, would you
swap out your elite quarterback?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think there's a need.
So the answer is no.
No.
So no. You wouldn't.
No.
You'd rather have Tua than Lamar.
Let me rephrase that. Yeah, let's rephrase that question a little bit in a different way, but still is the overarching question.
Yeah.
Who would you rather be the quarterback of the Dolphins week one, Lamar Jackson or Tua?
Tua.
Why?
Because better yards per attempt, better completion percentage. Seems like he has a better, I don't know, better quarterback.
But
if you weren't the producer of this podcast, what would the answer be?
But
Lamar Jackson.
There we go.
But, right, I was going to say, but you managed to acknowledge how you wouldn't love if you went to New England. So I just wanted to make sure.
Consistency is all we're looking for.
Yeah, just a little. But I guess if you say Tua's three and Lamar's four, then, you know.
That is where I stand. I just don't want him in my division, you know? Abe, wouldn't want him. You wouldn't want him in the NFC East either, I'm sure.
I said I don't want him going to the Commanders because I have a pulse.
Would you trade Jalen for Lamar?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can say that pretty much with conviction. But you said pretty much everyone knows the best team on paper.
Yeah.
You know what's technically paper, Jack? One ply toilet paper. The type of paper that gives your asshole bleeding cuts. That is the type of paper that the Dolphins are.
How do you want to go about this? I can prove to you in any kind of way that you'd like that we have the best team on paper going into this year.
Prove me
is
in
the first way. One Madden rating?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't I mean, have the top
that, rating. That is a solid piece of it.
Sure, but you don't have the top rating. So
probably don't even have top five.
When do the ratings come out for that even?
I don't know. But you will not be in the top three teams.
Who would you say will be the top rated, the top three in Madden?
Chiefs, Niners, Eagles.
Okay, boom. we're probably four or five.
Nope.
No. Cincy probably will be higher rated.
Bills. Yeah.
Bills,
They will.
I'm starting to get nervous about the Bills.
But Madden's not.
Jets.
Stop it! Oh my!
We're talking about Madden, man.
You're
don't
upset.
Get mad at us.
Like this is a Madden rating, not like work.
Okay.
It's not even paper. It's not even paper. It's a video.
What makes your roster so good? I don't understand.
Okay. So starting on offense, we have the best wide receiver room in the league for starters. We have a great young offense.
Wait, Time out. You have the best wide receiver duo.
Room.
Who else is in that room?
It doesn't matter because those two are so good.
So
that's not how.
So just
it works.
Say yes to duo.
Yeah, sure.
It's just the duo.
It sounds better saying the whole wide receiver room is the best in the league. But okay, yes.
Right, but it's incorrect.
So is the duo.
Because because the best wide receiver room is Cincy, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd. Not like that clears Miami. Fairly easily.
I kind of disagree with that.
We know you don't think so.
But it does. As a room. Not as a duo necessarily.
Sure, take it. Fine.
The delta between Tyler Boyd and Cedric Wilson far exceeds the delta between Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill.
T. Higgins is better than Jalen Waddle.
No, he's not. Jalen Waddle is the most underrated wide receiver in the league. I don't know how people he should be a one. He would be a one on most teams.
Oh, and T. Higgins wouldn't?
Okay,
I guess. He's trying to get paid like a one. It might leave.
T. Higgins wouldn't?
He would. Okay, he would. I still think Waddle's better than him.
And Jamar Chase is better than Tyreek Hill.
No, not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No, he is, actually.
No, it's like, he is.
No, he is.
How are we going to figure this out?
They're close. But those two I would definitely take over here, too. Anyway, so you have one of the top wide receiver duos in league. Okay. I'm gonna see.
Oh, I couldn't hear you. I hate this. Okay, then going over to the defense. Like obviously the offense is gonna be great. We already know that. We saw what they were gonna do last year with Tua didn't get hurt. Top offense in the league. Moving over to the defensive side now. Obviously that was the biggest problem last year.
Was Tua healthy for the Niners game?
Not really.
Was he healthy? Wait, why not?
He got hit in the head, man.
Against the Niners?
No, before. He had came back. And he wasn't the same.
So anything from the Cincy game on doesn't count?
Somewhat, yeah, I'd say. He was hurt.
Oh. But what changed from then to now?
A full offseason of recovery for Tua.
Gotcha. More time to heal. Okay, all right, carry on.
And then, obviously, moving to the defense, bringing in Vic Fangio. Best DC in the league, maybe. We'll see how that happens. And then just...
Is he?
I think so.
The guy that was unemployed last season?
Yeah, how'd you bring him in?
Well, Sean Payton was unemployed last season. That doesn't mean anything. He's coming...
He's the best coach in the league now.
Yeah.
He's coming back with one of the better defensive groups he's probably ever had. And
Wait. Time out. The Dolphins were one of the worst defensive groups in the entire NFL last season.
Coaching and scheme.
It's the scheme.
Scheme team. Of course. Okay. All right.
Jalen Ramsey.
Yep.
Now
we're at the naming.
I don't want to go down that because I'm just going to be naming roster players. There's no point in me sitting here doing that. But
appreciate it. Wait, but are you like, and we have Bradley Chubb, or like you're going to acknowledge he was garbage last year?
He he himself specifically did not play great, but as soon as he came in, the production of guys like Wilkins, Sealer, all went up as soon as he came in. So he was taking a lot of pressure off of those guys. And all the rest of the season, Wilkins, like I'm sure you guys heard about it, he actually started getting talked about, had an amazing second half of the year after Chubb came in. And even the other guys too, all their production went up. And then I see
so $20 million a year on the cap to open up an interior defensive lineman's game.
He will.
It's like paying Al Horford $150 million to take away the pressure from Embiid.
Stop. That was just exactly last year with Fangio. Now he'll, you know, they're switching back to the 4-3 instead of the 3-4. So I think that'll.
That's huge.
That's
yeah. No, that's big time.
That'll help him out a lot. I just think the defense is going to be fucking unreal, and the offense will return to the form it was at the beginning of the season when we were undefeated.
8,125 is what I heard.
Eight.
8128. Got it. Okay.
In 100 more days, we'll be at whatever it's called.
Good thing paper is not flammable.
Yeah. No, this sounds like it's all going to come to fruition.
Scheme. It's the scheme. It was all the scheme, I'm telling you.
We should play that every time the fans lose.
Stay scheme in the scheme team of the NFL.
Scheming. All right. Well, we appreciate.
Can't wait for those bad ratings to drop.
Do we know when the schedule comes out?
Normally in April.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's usually draft time.
And the Dolphins have the Eagles on the schedule?
You know the schedule.
You know the opponents.
No, but the weeks. The weeks in which they play.
Oh, because you play Philly. Because you're trying to come through, right?
Yes, I am.
All right, we'll take you to Philadelphia. We'll get you a cheesesteak, whiz wit.
I'm so excited to go in there and beat you guys.
He's shaking in his fucking poutine boots.
Yeah, see, the sweet with crab cakes at the bank is a much different experience
than the crab fries in the bucket that you piss in the Link parking lot.
I'm not worried.
On your chest.
I'm not scared.
Yeah. All right. Well, we appreciate you, Eagleson. Go Huskies.
Go Huskies.
Go
baby.
Huskies. We'll hopefully be on the diamond next Sunday, but we'll talk. We'll talk to all you guys Thursday or Friday. TBD. Happy Passover to all my brethren, all our brothers who celebrate Eagle Joe. And I hope everyone has a great week.
Get the fuck out of here.
Much love. Peace.